I'm nervous.
Why are you nervous?
I'm nervous about it.
Tasting one of Nikki's new and different wines that you've never tasted before.
Well, now I'm nervous.
Oh. I love how floral this is. It's like walking into a like a nursery.
Not with babies.
No.
No.
Hello there. Welcome to this week's episode of Sip with Nikki. I am Nikki Lamberti, and I'm coming at you from Sonoma County, California. If you're a new listener, welcome to the party. So happy to have you. For my loyal listeners, if you listened to last week's episode, which was our Zin-centric tasting at Tres Sabores Winery, a few of the voices from that episode are going to be familiar to you this week. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, let me set the stage. A couple of weeks ago, I had some dear friends in town visiting. These are women that I used to work with at Walt Disney World in Orlando. English Anne, who still currently lives in Orlando, but you'll hear the fabulous English accent remains, as well as Joan and Erica, who live in Nashville. And we did some wine tasting over the weekend, including Tres Sabores Winery, which we highlighted last week. But if you are familiar with Solovato, which is my small wine label, I actually physically make my wine and store my barrels of wine that are aging at the Tres Sabores Winery. So after our wonderful host, Jim, who you'll also hear in today's episode, finished sharing the beautiful Tres Sabores portfolio of wines with us, we changed gears. And I said, hey, ladies, do you want to taste some of my not yet bottled Solovato wines right out of the barrel? And needless to say, they said yes. They're good friends. They support me in everything that I do, and I absolutely appreciate them. They have been following this journey since it was literally just a dream in my heart. So what you're about to hear is our barrel tasting. So I literally climbed up and used what looks like a turkey baster or a pipette from chemistry class. It's called a wine thief. And you thief the wine out of the big 60-gallon wine barrels. And this is something when you're making wine that you do regularly just to check in and see how things are progressing. And so it was a special treat to have an audience share their feedback, because what's really exciting is in the 2023 harvest, which is the wines that you'll hear us tasting, we made three different wines, and we've never done that before. So we made our flagship Sangiovese, the Italian grape, but then we also added two new grape types, which will be two new wines, both Grenache and Petit Sirah. The reason I thought it'd be fun to share this with you was not only to give you a preview of what's to come with Solovato when we release these wines next year, but especially as I listen back after we recorded it, I think it's really interesting to hear what are the types of things that we look for when we're tasting unfinished wine out of the barrel, and how do they change, and why the heck for red wines are we aging for a year and a half to 2 years? You'll hear us talk about tannin and how that changes with time, what you can tell by the color of the wine, what's up with a white wine that looks brown, and also can you or should you age white wines? So we really get into a variety of topics as we are barrel tasting these three 2023 Solovatos. So I think it's a great education and just gives you a peek into some of the hot topics that we talk about as winemakers. So here we go with Solovato barrel tasting.
So thanks to Jim and his climbing skills, my barrels are kind of obstructed at the moment with equipment, and
did you have to climb into them?
This young man did.
Oh, you climbed into them. Thank you.
So we were able to get to three of the lots, which we will taste today.
Okay.
We have all of the 2023s right now. So okay. We have the Grenache, we have the Petit Sirah, and the Sangiovese, all from 23. Petit Sirah is definitely last. It always has to be last because it's like inky. Let's do okay. Sangiovese because you know it. 2023, so been in barrel just about a year. Not gonna bottle till next year, so halfway through its aging process. Ramazzotti Vineyard, 100%. Is that the tasting notes?
Instinctive, you're tasting. It's got that distinctive taste, but it's new. It has a bit of a bite.
Mm-hmm. Which smooths down, clearly smooths down, because...
Because we had the 2021 last night at dinner.
Yes.
So this is 2 years younger, but the same wine. Distinctive. What's distinctive, that was your word, about it?
Rich, smooth. This is a little...
She's making like a money, money, money sign with her fingers.
Smooth. Think it can help me with a word here.
Is it a texture?
No, smooth is the texture. Smooth. It's not quite as smooth as last night's.
Again, we're still talking about wine?
Or... Yes.
Okay.
It has a...
a little more of that. I've made Jim blush.
Yeah, I was going to say that it has that.
Acidity. Yeah.
Acidity, yeah.
I think what you're noticing is all the components of any wine, but especially my wine that you know. The fruitiness, the tannin, the acid, the alcohol, they're all there always. But right now, because of its immaturity, all of those things are loud.
Yeah, pronounced.
You're noticing acidity.
It's like a teenager.
Yes, yeah. It's like needs to tone down. You notice the components, you notice the acid, you notice the tannin, you're like, ooh, I get fruitiness. And that's why we will not bottle this for another year.
It's thinner.
Yeah. Yes.
Thinner.
They do get more concentrated with age.
It's gonna all come together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You guys have barrel tasted this before,
yes,
right? Kind of at a halfway point as well in past years.
Yeah,
but it's fun, especially since in strategic last night to have the 21 with dinner just so that it was sort of fresh. But when you taste it, it's still delicious. If there's something bad about it, that's not going to get better. But it's just going to get more integrated, in tune, thicker. Synchronize is a great word.
Yeah.
This will smooth out with time.
Yeah. The tannins on this, it's almost like, you know, how pollen sticks to a bee. That's kind of how you get that into...
I love that analogy. Pollen, it's such a visual. Yeah. I've never used that before. I might steal that. Thank you.
This color is brighter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very purple, bright purple.
Yes.
Which is what you expect from young wine. All wine ages to brown on the color spectrum. Whether it's red or white, it ages towards brown because of oxidation and some other chemical reactions that happen. So
when you see a white wine that is nearly brown, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to taste bad.
It's going to taste different.
It's going to be different.
And it usually is brownish because it's aged.
It's aged.
And that's an oxidation.
Yeah.
Reaction that's happening. It'll usually be kind
of
nutty.
When you see a brown white wine, you're mind,
thrown.
That it's going to taste brown.
Generally, age better.
Yes,
necessarily.
White.
You can't say an old white's going to be good necessarily.
Depends on the white, right? Depends on what the wine was when it started.
Right.
The levels of acid and tannin. I've had some beautiful 10, 15, 20 year old. White wines.
Really?
Yeah. Mm.
But they're very different because if you think about like the thinking cap that we had today, Julie Sauvignon Blanc, Pride Viognier, Pride Chardonnay that you love, what we celebrate about those white is they're fresh and they're floral and they're vibrant. That does not increase with age in a white wine. The freshness
away.
And the vibrancy goes away, but other things replace it. Like, I'm getting like butterscotch. I'm getting toasted almonds. I'm getting like nuttiness.
Probably.
Yes, they just take on very different notes. It can still be an amazing, very delicious wine, but it will be different.
So in other words, with the whites, you might as well drink it.
Yeah.
For most people's palate of what they like about white, yes, drink it young.
Hmm.
So first ever production of Solomento Grenache. We've got three barrels of this, so that's about 75 cases. We're going to bottle this hopefully early next year. This, I don't want to lead the witness. I'll taste it first, and then I'll tell you my thought on aging. But
it has a lot of like lilac to it. It's very floral.
It's lighter.
Lighter
vanilla pudding.
Ooh, that's fun. I mean, vanilla is generally an oak note, right, from the barrel.
Really?
And we literally pulled this out of a barrel, thank you, 14 minutes ago, right? It was touching oak. Now, none of the barrels holding this are new,
right?
Which you would get a lot of that.
Yeah.
But they're a couple-year-old barrels, so there might be a little hints of vanilla, yeah.
I'm nervous.
Why are you nervous?
I'm nervous about
tasting one of Nikki's new and different wines that you've never tasted before.
Yes.
Well, now I'm nervous.
I love how floral this is. It's like walking into a like a nursery.
Not with babies.
No.
Not a baby nursery.
Or like a flower shop.
Yeah.
It tastes like it's more aged than it is. Yes, yeah. It does. It doesn't.
And it's the same exact age. In fact, it was picked a couple of weeks after the Sangiovese you just had in 2023. But we're going to bottle this sooner than the Sangiovese because Grenache doesn't have as much tannin. It doesn't need as much time.
Right.
It's more synchronized, to use your word,
right,
just because of the chemistry of this grape and the character of this grape. This is more closer to being ready to go. People don't drink enough Grenache. People don't drink enough Sangiovese. People don't drink enough Zinfandel, right?
Yeah,
but Grenache especially, I feel like is really not on people's radar, and I'm really passionate about it. I love it. It's super food friendly.
It's so flavorful. Like it
tastes like an older wine. Tastes like it's been developing for longer.
Yeah. Which is so interesting because it's exactly the same.
Still
I like vanilla pudding. That's like almost a nostalgic thing, right? It's yummy. I'm very excited. I mean, I'm always excited about the Sangiovese, of course, but this being new.
I'm not nervous anymore.
You're not nervous.
I have to think, I'm going to find some things to say.
I have to be her friend and say something nice, especially because we're recording it. And now, a word from our sponsor. AmericanOliveFarmer.com is a business and a website owned and operated by my friend Liz Tagami and her husband Donald. They live up in Corning, California, and I recently had Liz on the podcast where we got to taste some of her delicious olive oils, both the Arbequina and Ascolano varieties, and they're grown and made right here in California. Well, the oils were really just the tip of the iceberg, because if you check out her website, you'll see that they import gorgeous balsamic vinegar from Modena. In fact, one of them uses three of my favorite Italian wine grapes as the base of the vinegar: Trebbiano, Lambrusco, and Sangiovese. I can't say that without singing. And while on their website, if you sign up to stay in touch, you'll receive their newsletter and you'll get the fantastic recipes that Liz and Donald have created using their beautiful products. I'm so excited to introduce all of you to American Olive Farmer, and Liz has kindly created a discount code for our listeners. Use the code SIPWITHNIKKI, capital S, capital W, and capital N, SIPWITHNIKKI, for $10 off your order, and that can be anything from the site, whether it's delicious olive oils, vinegars, or even gifts. I mean, you can send someone an olive tree as a gift. How cool is that? Check out AmericanOliveFarmer.com and support this fantastic, small, California-based, woman-led business. You can even set up an olive oil subscription. Go, check it out. You're welcome. And now, back to our show. You don't have to say something nice. You have to be honest.
Not unless I feel it.
Be honest.
I'm being honest.
Welch's grape soda?
No.
Really?
No. That's nothing good for me.
Oh, see, I love that's like
there's this really
childhood.
Nice like tea like aspect to this wine that I really like.
Tea?
Yeah,
tea.
Like almost like
one of the fruits.
Like chamomile
teas?
Or like black tea, something on long there's one.
Is it oolong?
Oolong.
Sorry, I made you laugh with wine in your mouth.
This is
Jolene, you're gonna make me cry. Stop.
This is so much.
It's really delicious.
I thought it was going to be because I thought I was going to think, oh, I don't know. I love
the Sangiovese. It's just different. It's different.
It's different.
It's so good.
I have a portfolio now. Mm-hmm. I have three different wines.
I get a lot of jasmine.
Ooh, like from Aladdin, like a whole
world. It is for you.
You're all about the floral
mm-hmm.
and the flower shop.
You are.
I love that.
What reminds me a lot of, we have a big jasmine plant in the garden. So when you walk from the animals, smell the stinky animals to walking in the garden.
This is,
when
this is somewhere in between stinky animal and jasmine. I like a little stinky animal in my wine. I'm actually not offended by that if that was a thing. Thanks for tasting that.
It's really good. Height 13s?
Over 14.
Over 14?
14.5.
Okay. It doesn't run hot at all.
Just over 14. But Grenache is kind of like Zin. Grenache typically runs a little higher alcohol just in how it ripens. Are you ready for the finale? Are you ready for the petit sirah?
Yes.
So here's the fun thing. This vineyard, I know I've told you guys this, but now you're like having it in front of you, so you'll connect the dots. These are the vines from Napa Paradise.
Oh,
these are the vines from the property where I live for the first 3 years when I moved here from 2012 to 2015.
And we looked out the window.
I literally can see these vines from my bedroom where I slept for 3 years.
Right, and we drove through them to get to your house.
It's very deep purple.
Welcome to Petit Syrah.
I don't think I like Petit Syrah.
Okay, that's fair.
So now I'm going to see if I can prove myself wrong.
I mean, we went from one end of the spectrum with Grenache, even the Sangiovese, but especially Grenache, to this.
Very different.
Completely different in aroma, in flavor, in color. Petit Syrah is like ink.
Squid ink.
Squid ink.
This is very different for Petit Syrah. Very, very different.
So we have two barrels of this wine. One is a brand new barrel that we purchased for $1,200. And the other one is a used barrel. And so right now they're very different, but they will be, yes.
Okay.
So it will be the finished bottling will be 50% new oak, right? Because it was half and half.
So this one,
this one was
this
not the new.
Is going to be blended with the other barrel,
which is the same liquid inside, but with newer oak on it.
Right.
So the oakiness will be amped up a little bit.
Okay.
In the final blend.
Oh, it definitely does. Definitely got that on that one.
The tannin.
What do you mean, tannin? What are you talking about, tannin? What? There's still a lot of moisture in my mouth. I mean, not a drop of moisture left.
No. Yeah. It's just
shrink wrap. Just like. Yeah.
So will that
thick with the double C.
That will calm down. Of the three, this could age the longest to let those tannins settle. And then I will encourage people that purchase it
to
let it chill for a little bit. But it's just a bigger, richer, more tannic wine that is, like you said, barbecue.
I love this. I always think that this is the smaller wine, and it's not.
Because the word petite is in there?
Yeah.
Probably. No.
Probably.
It's not smaller. It's a big...
Bigger. It's a bigger
wine. In your face.
I would say Petit Syrah can be heavier than Cab.
Yes, agree.
It is.
I would put it on the farthest end of the spectrum with Pinot Noir on the lightest end of the spectrum in color and body and tannin. Grenache, pretty close to that.
Yeah.
Sangiovese, more in the middle. Zin, closer to Sangiovese. Cab, Petit Syrah.
Okay.
Petit Verdot.
PB. So why is it called petite?
The berries are very tiny.
Ooh, grapes.
So less juice in the berries. There's more concentration.
Thank you.
Thicker
That's
skins.
Why the color's so dark.
Yeah.
When you have a smaller grape, and these grapes are small, you have more skin, less grape. All the color that makes red wine red comes from the skin. So when you have more skin, less plumpy grape, you're going to have a darker color white. So this will have the Spring Mountain...
Yeah.
AVA on it, because I'm going to bottle it 100% just like this. It doesn't need anything.
No.
And this is literally from that property where you couldn't figure out how to open the gate and drive down to my house. The vines on that slope.
Yeah. Wow.
That's this.
What a full circle moment.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Well, for all of us, actually, because it's like, oh my gosh, this is it.
Do you remember when... And you've seen me doing this multiple times over the years when we are topping off the barrels because they evaporate. That's why, side note, when it feels thin and it's younger and you're waiting for that thickness, right? Even the Sangiovese, because as they're sitting in this building for 2 years, they're evaporating. So the barrel that was full is not full, but then you top it off with more of the same wine. Every month and a half or so, we're here topping off the barrel, which is why the wine that's in there is getting more concentrated.
Where are you getting that wine from to top it off?
From kegs that the day that we press this off from fermentation and put it in the barrel, it never fills barrels exactly.
Right.
You always have a little extra.
Okay. Okay, so you put so that in a new one that's gone into the
same year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. In a barrel,
but it's not been in a barrel.
Yeah.
You top with keg wine. It's your topping wine.
Okay.
You break down a 5 gallon or a 10 gallon keg. Right. And usually the math works out well that you can do that, right? So you're topping
that
it off.
Makes sense.
So that adds to the concentration because it's evaporating. You're adding more, and you're evaporating, and you're adding more. But when we first started doing this, even until like last year, and Jim has witnessed this, we have like a hose, just like a plastic tubing, that I would put one end in the keg of the topping wine, and then I have like a pitcher that I'm going to pour into the barrel, and I would just do the sucking, siphoning, just to get the flow going, right?
Yeah.
And inevitably, when I would do it, I'd be like, I'm getting hammered because it like hits you in the mouth. So now we got this little wand that uses suction, so you don't have to do it with your mouth. And we have a longer hose, so you're not like on the ground. But every time they're trying to work here, and I'm in the corner like sucking on a barrel.
All I'm doing is sucking the wine.
And it literally is like a shot of wine every time. We're like, so now we've honed in our process on that as well.
Yeah.
So we're all getting purple mouths. What's that from?
That's Petite Sirah.
Okay.
Everything it touches.
Trademark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cheers, guys. So for 23, I'll have 3 wines. I can have a club. I might have a club. It's hard to have a club when you have 1 wine.
Yeah.
Hey, your club shipment's coming. Woo! Let me guess what it is. Now maybe there'll be a little room for a little more offerings or combo packs or things like that.
You just need a white wine. That's
I do.
It. Or a rosé.
I do. I'd love to make Viognier, Vermentino, like an Italian light. We'll figure it out.
Hey.
Hi, lady.
Hi, Emma.
We didn't see you.
Hey, sweet girl.
Hello.
We didn't see your baby brother.
First time I came here, she was the first one to greet me.
She runs. Yeah. You guys are bonded for life.
Yeah. There's been a few hardships that I've gone through in the past couple of years, and she always seems to know. She'll come up and she'll put her head right on my lap and look at me, and she knows.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
2023. Tell them about it.
It's a whole new Petite Sirah world.
And now we wait. We wait for these wines to finish their magical aging in the barrel. As you heard me talk about, we will most likely bottle the Grenache first and release that in the early part of 2025, and the Sangiovese and Petite Sirah will follow. You may be asking yourself, well, how do I get my hands on these beautiful wines once they are done? Just visit my website, solovatowines.com, and you can sign up to be on the mailing list, and we will make sure that you are the first to know as these very limited wines come available. A special thank you to Jim and Anne and Joan and Erica for being a really great tasting panel, giving me all of their fantastic feedback. And as always, make sure if you're enjoying Sip with Nikki, leave us a rating or a review. And don't forget, you can also support the podcast and be an angel. Buy me a glass of wine, and you can do that using the link in the show notes. I hope you've learned and laughed. And whatever you do between now and next week, I hope that you sip well.